Today is the second Sunday of Advent, and tomorrow, being the vigil of the Immaculate Conception, it is a day of fast and complete abstinence. And also, today is Vocation Sunday, so please do remember in your Mass this morning and your Holy Communion to offer up them for more vocations to our seminary and the novitiate, and remain with us after the Mass to pray for this intention. Tuesday, December 8th, is the Feast of the Immaculate Conception. It is also a holy day of obligation, so all are obliged to attend Mass. And Masses at Oyster Bay will be here at 8 in the morning and 8 in the evening. St. Pius V School will hold its Christmas concert matinee on Saturday, December 19th at 2 p.m. at West Hollow Middle School. So please call the school office for more information and directions to the hall. Tickets will be sold at the hall for $5 per person. And please note that the doll and Afghan raffles will be drawn at the Christmas concert. Willing workers are needed to help decorate and to clean here at the chapel for Christmas on Tuesday, December 22nd. So decorating will begin at 5 p.m. and dinner will be provided. All volunteers are greatly appreciated, so please do mark your calendars now for Tuesday, the 22nd. And I would just like to welcome anyone who may be here at St. Pius V for the first time. Of course, everyone is always most welcome to attend our Mass. But in order to receive Holy Communion, there are a few rules to abide by. The first one being, of course, to believe and profess the Catholic faith, as it has always been believed and professed before Vatican II, and to be in the state of sanctifying grace. And one must attend the traditional Mass exclusively. That is, one must not attend the new Mass, the indult Mass, or the Masses of schismatic or doubtfully ordained priests or bishops. And again, we welcome you here to St. Pius V, and thank you for your kind attention with regard to these necessary requirements for Holy Communion. The epistle appointed to be read for the second Sunday of Advent is taken from St. Paul's epistle to the Romans, chapter 15. Brethren, what things soever were written for our learning, that through patience and the comfort of the Scriptures we might have hope. Now the God of patience and of comfort grant you to be of one mind, one towards another, according to Jesus Christ, that with one mind and with one mouth you may glorify God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Wherefore, receive one another as Christ also hath received you unto the honor of God. For I say that Christ Jesus was minister of the circumcision for the truth of God, to confirm the promises made unto the fathers, but that the Gentiles are to glorify God for his mercy, as it is written, therefore will I confess to thee, O Lord, among the Gentiles, and will sing to thy name. And again he saith, rejoice, ye Gentiles, with his people. And again, praise the Lord, all ye Gentiles, and magnify him, all ye people. And again Isaiah saith, there shall be a root of Jesse, and he that shall rise up to rule the Gentiles, in him the Gentiles shall hope. Now the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, that you may abound in hope and in the power of the Holy Ghost. And the Holy Gospel is taken from the Gospel of St. Matthew, chapter 11. At that time, when John had heard in prison the works of Christ, sending two of his disciples, he said to him, art thou he that art to come, or look we for another? And Jesus, making answer, said to them, go and relate to John what you have heard and seen. The blind see, the lame walk, the lepers are cleansed, the deaf hear, the dead rise again, the poor have the gospel preached to them. And blessed is he that shall not be scandalized in me. And when they went their way, Jesus began to say to the multitudes concerning John, what went you out into the desert to see? A reed shaken with the wind? But what went you out to see? A man clothed in soft garments. Behold, they that are clothed in soft garments are in the houses of kings. But what went you out to see? A prophet? Yea, I tell you, and more than a prophet. For this is he of whom it is written, behold, I send my angel before thy face, who shall prepare thy way before thee. Thus far the words of today's Holy Gospel. And when they went their way, Jesus began to say to the multitudes concerning John, "What went you out into the desert to see? A reed shaken with the wind? But what went you out to see? A prophet? Yea, I tell you, and more than a prophet." Words taken from today's Mass. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. My dear people, perhaps some of you may remember the movie For Greater Glory, which came out in the year 2012. And the movie For Greater Glory portrayed the persecution of Catholics in Mexico in the late 1920s. And the movie, what I feel, was an honest attempt to tell the truths of the terrible events that occurred in Mexico during the years 1926 to 1929. And you must understand first that Mexico was a predominantly Catholic country when the persecution broke out. But the president of Mexico, whose name was Calles, was a communist. He was a militant anti-Catholic who believed in the satanic doctrine of Karl Marx, and he determined to destroy the Catholic faith. And thus it was that he opened the persecution, the bloody persecution in which thousands of Catholics were put to death. But the Catholic bishops, the priests, and the people, they persevered in their faith. In fact, thousands of Catholic men organized themselves and called themselves Cristeros. Their mission was to fight for Christ the King, to fight for his church, to protect their families, and to preserve their faith. When the persecution ended in 1929, it is estimated that 50,000 federal troops of the communist regime were killed in action, 30,000 Cristeros, and 10,000 priests and religious were all martyred for their faith. But during the movie For Greater Glory, I was moved by one of the scenes which showed the heroic courage, the fortitude of one of the priests who was martyred. And the priest depicted in the scene was Father Christopher. And the movie thus depicted at this point, one of the altar boys, according to the film, approached the priest and he warned him of the approaching soldiers. The movie depicts the boy pleading with the priest to follow him and to take refuge at his home where he could hide safely until the danger was over. But the priest had no intention of leaving the church. He would not abandon his Lord and Master in the tabernacle. And that is what he chose to do. This courageous priest remained at the church, choosing to undergo martyrdom rather than hide out of fear. And so he made his intention known to the boy that he would remain in the church. And looking at him, the boy, the altar boy, who himself would one day follow in his footsteps to a glorious martyrdom, the priest courageously said, "Nothing is more glorious than to die for Christ." And then he told the boy to run home and to hide before it was too late. And shortly thereafter, the soldiers arrived. They arrested the priest. The priest, wearing his black vestments, was then led by the soldiers outside the church. They then made the priest stand before the church. The firing squad made ready, and moments later, shots were fired. The lifeless body of the priest fell to the ground, and his soul entered at that moment into eternal glory for having died for our Lord himself. Now, the gospel, my dear people, for the second Sunday of Advent, we read about our Lord's description of St. John the Baptist. Our Lord told the people who St. John the Baptist was. And at the time of this explanation of our Lord about St. John to the people, St. John was in prison. And the reason St. John the Baptist was in prison was because of his own unwavering devotion to the truth. See, St. John had told Herod Antipas, who was the tetrarch or the ruler of Galilee at the time, that it was a sin for him to take the wife of his brother. And so on account of St. John's bold defense of the commandments of God, he was imprisoned. But because the people loved and had a great reverence for St. John the Baptist, Herod was reluctant to put him to death. It was not until later that Herod did order St. John the Baptist to be beheaded. And that is why in today's gospel that St. John could not himself go to our Lord, for St. John was in prison. And so he sent two of his disciples to him. And when the disciples left our Lord and returned to St. John, our Lord explained to the people what kind of person St. John the Baptist was. He was the precursor of Christ. He was the great prophet who came before our Lord to prepare the people for him. Our Lord said to the multitudes a few questions in order to get the point across. What went you out into the desert to see? A reed shaken with the wind. But what went you out to see? A prophet. Yea, and more than a prophet. So our Lord was praising and extolling St. John the Baptist for standing up for the truth, for what he did, for what put him in prison, and eventually his beheading. He perfectly fulfilled his mission as the forerunner of the Messiah. He did not waver when it came to professing the truth. St. John was not a weak reed that was used in the analogy of our Lord that bowed to the ungodly and unbelieving people of the world, but rather he stood up for the one true faith and for morality. He stood strong against those who ridiculed and even mocked the true religion. He was thus an exemplary model for us today in practicing the Catholic faith, because he was not afraid to stand up for the truth. You know, courage is one of the four cardinal virtues, and the word courage comes from the Latin, comes from the Latin term cardo, which means a hinge, and it is upon all the other virtues that they hinge upon these four cardinal virtues. Courage is defined as that virtue which strengthens the irascible will, enabling it to continue in its pursuit of difficult good, even in the face of the greatest dangers of bodily life. So in other words, it gives us the courage to be able to deal with the problems, the trials, and tribulations which we face on a daily basis, even were it to come to the point of death. The opposite of courage or fortitude is an inordinate fear. It is the dread of suffering, and this inordinate fear can lead us to back down, perhaps in the face of our duties, in the face of those obligations which we have assumed by our Satan life. But courage is what gives us the strength to be able to face up to these trials, to stand strong in the midst of them. Doesn't mean that we cannot or will not even feel that fear which arises, but it means if we use our will, strengthened by the supernatural virtue, the cardinal virtue, we can override all this fear. The supreme act of courage, of course, or the supreme act of fortitude, is martyrdom, which St. John the Baptist used, and Father, and the Mexican, and the many, many thousands, the revolution. In our day and age, my dear people, we are not faced with martyrdom, but it is not impossible that someday we may. But we do face many other trials and tribulations every single day, which at times perhaps can seem like a long, drawn-out martyrdom. Every day our virtue is in some way or another put to the test, and each one of us is called upon to defend his faith. So even if we are not called presently to martyrdom, in our daily lives, we must nonetheless be like soldiers who are not afraid to stand up for our God-given faith. Let us say, my dear people, follow the faith, follow the courage of St. John the Baptist and Father Christopher, who gave his life for the one true faith, to let us not be afraid to defend our Catholic faith when it is mocked by others. We must not be afraid to defend our Catholic morals when they are mocked by others. The world may mock us. The world does mock us. We all have our own stories. When we publicly profess our faith in the one true God, when we make the sign of the cross in public, when we say our prayers before and after meals, when someone sees your scapular and they ask, "What is that?" and so forth, the world may mock us even when we do not laugh at impure jokes or watch their impure television programs or listen to their immoral music. Today especially, it is very difficult for our young Catholic people that they are under so much pressure to go along with the world and even to compromise their Catholic faith and morals. And I pray that our parents will teach their children, both by word and example, to love and cherish their Catholic faith as the greatest gift that they have been given. So let us then ask the Most Blessed Virgin Mary to obtain from her divine infant Son the grace that we may never be ashamed of our one true Catholic faith and always and everywhere strive to practice true Catholic morals. God bless you in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.